please. Now let's go to the book of Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We have some people missing today. I'm going to assume that maybe Mrs. Briggs is missing because of the weather. I'm not certain about that. A telephone call would be appropriate. And then Miss Polly, I believe, is out of town. I think she went to a class reunion. Seems like the further down the road you get, the fewer people attend the class reunions. It would be sad if you got to the class reunion and you were the only one there. But she's gone to a class reunion, I believe, and so we ask you please to pray for her safety and that God will bring her back. And then Miss Chrissy, we know where she's at now. Let's see, who else? Help me. Pardon me? Miss Gladys, yes. Another appropriate call, if someone would give her a call and just let her know that we miss her. And I know that her car is down, and I know that she prayed a long time for that car. And having it let her down, I'm sure, is a disappointment and perhaps a discouragement. But we need to pray for that to be taken care of too, some way. All right. In the book of Acts, chapter number 26, last week we finished in verse number 19, where Paul says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those things the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." We'll stop there with our reading this morning. Father, we thank you again today for the privilege it's ours to pray. We do pray again for the Peterman family, Lord, for Miss Chrissy, Lord, for folk we don't know where they're at nor why. We pray, Lord, for Miss Gladys, that you'll meet needs in her life and encourage her today. And then, Lord, for every visit that's been made for the cause of Christ this last week, we'd ask you, Lord, that you'd bring fruit from those, from the monies, Lord, that was given at the missions conference. We pray that each nickel of that, Lord, would glorify you, and that, Lord, our church would see, Lord, would live to see that was really just an investment in the work of the Lord, and you're going to do mighty works with what we did, with our efforts and Lord, with our financing. And so, Lord, we commit that to you. And then, Lord, we'd ask you that today you'd be with Brother James and Brother Nathan and meet needs in their life today. Encourage them, Lord, and draw them close to yourself. And Miss Elizabeth, sick, Lord, thought last night when I saw her, she was looking a little sickly. I pray, Lord, you'd put your hand upon that situation, help there. We love you today, Lord. Thank you for first loving us. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us to be faithful. And Lord, I pray that in this Sunday school class, we'd glean something that will help us to serve you better, to reach more people, Lord, to be more outgoing, Lord, with our witness and our testimony, to prepare us, to help us, Lord, to feel prepared in Christ Jesus to take the message that's so very important to a world that so desperately needs you. Help our nation today, Lord. Help those that are in charge and leading us, and help us, Lord, to support them with our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we mentioned last week, we looked at verse number 19 and finished there, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." And the question for us today from that would be, are we disobedient to what God would have us to do? You remember when Paul was witnessed to, when he got saved, the Lord spoke to him and said, "I've appeared unto thee for this purpose." And God has appeared unto us for a purpose, to make us a minister and to make us a witness, both of the things which we had seen up to that point and the things that he's revealed to us since then. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to just make much of Jesus, to brag a lot about Christ. You know, there's a lot that you can find to find fault in God's people, but I challenge anyone to find a fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to draw strength from him. We need to keep our eyes on him. As we do those things, we'll become more like him and less like us. And Certainly the Lord wants us to do that. The world needs us to do that. Now, as we look at verse number 20, we find that the Apostle Paul here names some places that he was a witness to, and it seems to be a pattern, maybe would be the right word, a pattern of how to witness for Christ. He said he showed people, well, he was going to display Christ and show people first unto them of Damascus. Now remember, Damascus is where he was headed when he was arrested by the Lord. And the Lord showed him that vision from heaven, and he asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" Indicating that whoever it was that had that power to put him on his face before God, to shine that light that was so bright he couldn't see anything else, he said, "Whoever you are, you're my Lord." And Jesus introduced himself. He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And I believe that's the moment in time, the moment in history, when the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary since the Lord Jesus, I believe that's the time that he got saved. And of course, so now what's he going to do? He has a handful of arrest warrants. He's been led by the hand because he's blind into the town of Damascus. And there he goes to Simon the Tanner. He gains his sight back again. And the first place he witnesses, listen to this, this is big, is where he was. The first place he witnessed was where he was. Do you know the most difficult place in the world to witness? Someone says, "Well, it's your home. Well, it's a place of work. Well, it's at school. Well, it's when you're at family vacation or family get-togethers and family reunions and class reunions." And those are the No, listen, the most difficult place to witness is where you are. We worry about those other places, and we worry about them so much sometimes it keeps us from witnessing where we are. And where we are is where God wants us to witness, because that's the place that we take the gospel. That's God has brought us there. God has brought other people there. And there we meet, and there is the most difficult place in the world to witness. We think about big cities being difficult, small cities being difficult, countrysides and out on the land being difficult to witness. But listen, the most difficult place to witness and the most important place to witness is where you're at. You know, it's not going to matter 5 seconds after Jesus comes what we were going to do tomorrow, what we were going to say the next time we got together at a family reunion, what we were going to do the next time we crossed paths with so-and-so. That's going to be absolutely unimportant. What's going to be important is what we did just before we took flight to go to heaven. And so the Apostle Paul starts at that very place where he had those arrest warrants. He witnesses in this place called Damascus. And then the Bible says he went from there to Jerusalem. Of course, Jerusalem is where he had gone, had headed towards Damascus from. And he goes back to those people that had sent him, those people who had actually given him the arrest warrants and signed those arrest warrants. He goes back to those people to give them the gospel. And of course, that was a planned thing. He planned to go back. He went back. And then throughout all the coast of Judea, he's talking to Jewish people. Messiah has come. Messiah has come. We found the Messiah, as worded some ways by other people. But the Apostle Paul witnessed to Jews hither and yon. And then we find the Bible says, and then to the Gentiles. You know, the Apostle Paul said the gospel is go to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And there's people who build entire ministries saying, well, it's supposed to be to the Jew first. But let me tell you what, the Jew has had the unadulterated, undiluted gospel for over 2,000 years. They have been approached first. And so just to have a special, specific ministry just to the Jews, I think it's dishonoring to God. I believe it's dishonoring to the Lord. I believe we're supposed to witness to every creature, be they Jewish or Gentile, be they black or white, be they rich or poor, be they educated or uneducated. The Bible says, Mark says, we're to give the gospel to every creature. So here the Apostle Paul, he goes and he covers the Jews first, talks to the Jews first, and then the Bible says, and to the Gentiles, and here's his message to Jew and Gentile, that they should repent. Repent means to turn about, have an about face. No longer am I going to rely on my good works. No longer am I going to rely on my heritage. No longer am I going to rely on the fact that I'm a Jew or my parents were good people. I'm going to repent and turn to God. Notice this. And do works meet for repentance. You know, that's kind of a confusing thing, and the English language is confusing sometimes, and sometimes I believe that's why God had a perfect Bible preserved in the English language so that we would study it. Because if you just skim across the top of it, listen, all kinds of cults have been born because of people skimming across the Bible and not studying to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, the Bible says they were to repent, turn to God, do the works meet for repentance. But that word for repentance means because of. Because of. If you were to go to Strong's Concordance and look up that word, he would use this illustration. He said, you can see a sign, a billboard, or a poster that says, wanted for bank robbery, Jesse James. Jesse James wanted for bank robbery. Well, what does that word for mean? Does it mean that he's wanted in order to perform a bank robbery? Wanted for bank robbery. Does it mean that he's wanted so that he can perform a bank robbery? Or does it mean he's wanted because he has performed a bank robbery? You say, well, Brother Sutton, that's elementary. And so is this. And so is this. Actually, it's the same school. Absolutely. If it's kindergartenish to think that that word for means because of, then it's kindergartenish to think anything different this way also. So let's notice this morning a couple of things. Go with me, and we've been here before, but I felt it really impressed of the Lord that we ought to go back here again. Psalms 118. Psalms 118. Of course, this is right before the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 118 contains the middle verse in the Bible. And I think we see here a very clear-cut presentation, an explanation, definition of the word for. As we look at verse number 1, the Bible says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. And then if you were dropped down to verse number 29, the Bible says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So here we find in verse number 1, God says, because his mercy endureth forever. And in verse number 29, he says, for his mercy endureth forever. And it means exactly the same thing. And so when we look in our text this morning in verse number 26, when the Bible says that they were to do works for repentance, it means because of. Because they've all, listen, there is no work we can do to get saved. None. None makes us more qualified to get saved. None causes God to want to save us more. If there's any of those things, Paul said, I frustrate not the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ died in vain. And so here he uses the word for, pardon me, in verse number 20, he says that they are to repent. They are to turn to God, and they are to do works meet for repentance because of repentance. Now, you say, well, Brother Sutton, are there any other examples? How about John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Now, does that mean because God loved the world or in order for God to love the world? It means because God has loved the world. And then go with me to the book of Acts, just back up here a little bit, because this is, and I think this is really the one that God wanted us to spend, put our eyes on anyway for just a little bit. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse number 37. Acts 2 and verse number 37, thinking about the word for. The Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, does that mean in order to be saved? If that means in order to be saved, then we ought to put a baptistry in our pickup truck, and every time we knocked on a door, we ought to offer to baptize them. Well, our baptistry ought to never be dry if that means in order to be saved. That means because salvation has come. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that we just need to understand that. We need to believe that. Even if we just accept that by faith, we need to understand. Listen, it's either works, Paul said in Romans, it's either works or it's grace. Can't be both. And a lot of Baptists, a lot of church, most Church of Christ, a lot of people from the Christian church want to have a mixture of works and grace. And it won't work. It won't work. Anytime we take any of our work and stuff it into the grace stocking, we spoil grace, we make it works, and nobody gets saved by works. We're saved by grace and not by works. By a grace that works, that's why he said they were supposed to do works meet for repentance. They're supposed to, because they're saved, the salvation that's in them is supposed to work its way out of them. But you don't get saved by doing good works. If that could happen, Jesus, and I say this reverently, Jesus was foolish to die the kind of a death that he died if there was anything we could do in order to be saved. Foolish to do that kind of a thing. Verse number 21, Paul says, these are the charges that were brought against me. For these cases, the Jews caught me in the temple, went about to kill me. Now remember, he's witnessing to a king. And then he says in verse number 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Let me share this with you. Here's a news flash. Except for the grace of God, we'll not make it another day. Jesus said without him, we can do nothing. Now we need to understand the truth of that. We need to understand the volume of that. We need to understand the length, the depth of that. Without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. Your next breath, my next breath, depends upon God. So the Apostle Paul says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. If you have continued unto this day, you ought to say thank you to the Lord. One of the saddest things you find when you go to a meeting of a lot of Christians are gathering together, a lot of people from various churches and so forth, pastors' meetings and big missions conferences and so forth, is you'll find the ones that have not continued. Oh, there's a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses, but they have neglected the help from God, or they would still be continuing. Paul says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Well, I want to continue tomorrow. I want to continue next week. I want to continue next month, next year, if Jesus doesn't come. And of course, if he comes, we'll continue much more easily in a place called heaven. But here in this nasty now and now, I want to be a continuer. And if I'm going to be a continuer, I have to have the favor and the help of God. Remember the Bible says, God give us grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. Oh, I don't want God to resist me. I want God to help me. I want God to be an encourager of my heart, and I want to be pleasing to him. And we can only do that as we follow him by this book, study it to show ourselves approved, and then taking what we learn and sharing it with a world that has rejected Christ for a lot of different reasons, a lot of different excuses, but none that'll hold water in eternity. And so we've got a lot of work to do. Father, I thank you today for just your love to us. Lord, for your concern for lost people, for your concern for your people. Lord, for your care when we are afflicted in any manner, Lord, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, financially, family-wise, Lord, when we are afflicted, you have great care. You have great concern about that. And you offer great help. And Lord, when we follow your recipe, when we follow your suggestions, when we follow your commandments, we follow your word, Lord, we find that there's help, there's restoration, there's strength, there's peace. Lord, there's purpose, there's motivation, all of those things when we just follow your word. And so I pray we'd be good followers. We know you're a good leader, and I pray, Father, that we would just love you and serve you and brag about you, make much of you at every opportunity, right where we're at, Lord. Help us to testify of Christ. We'll praise you for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for a good Sunday school hour. And I pray, Lord, that the preaching time would be well invested and well responded to, and you'd be well pleased with it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.